It's a pleasure to have you listening to my program this morning or this afternoon. It's my sincerest desire for you to get something out of it that will make your life richer, fuller, and in this time of the coronavirus pandemic, safer. I am Reverend Wynn Henderson. As an ordained Christian minister and a retired medical doctor, I have a dual perspective to bring you content to solve problems in your life. Freedom from Addiction, Share Your Mission is the longest-running, single-hosted, spiritually-based radio internet talk show in the country. It's been continuously running for the last 20 years. I introduce you to celebrities and non-celebrities alike who have something to say about the disease of addiction in its 30-plus different forms and about the importance of finding your mission or purpose in life and then acting on it. There's not one purpose alive who hasn't confronted his or her own mortality. Each of us, at some point, wakes up to the reality that our time on earth is limited. We all want to know that we matter, but how do we do this in the midst of a crazy, noisy world where it's hard to even hear yourself think, much less take courageous actions that will make a difference? Our guest today is Rabbi Daniel Cohen. As a mentor, a guide, a cheerleader, a motivator, he possesses the unique blend of authenticity, wisdom, and spiritual insight for contemporary society. His personal experience as a rabbi, sharing hundreds of life-affirming moments from birth to death, cultivating thousands of years of Jewish wisdom, and as a husband and father of six daughters, combined with his humor and humanity, provide him with a compelling narrative and navigational guide to life. Rabbi Cohen has served in the rabbinate for over 20 years and currently serves as senior rabbi at Congregation Agudath Shalom in Stamford, Connecticut. It's the largest modern Orthodox synagogue in New England. He also co-hosts with Reverend Greg Dahl of the naturally syndicated radio show, The Rabbi and the Reverend, which airs Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. He speaks frequently on leading a life of legacy. Rabbi Cohen and Diane, his wife, are the grateful parents of six daughters. Daniel, it's nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you inviting me to your show and to meet you today.
Well, you've written a book. Your book is called What Will They Say About You When You're Gone? Subtitle, Creating a Life of Legacy. How long did it take you to write this book, and why did you write it?
I would say it took probably around 4 to 5 years to write the book, but the book is obviously the product of a life. There were a couple of motivators for me to write the book. One is personal, and one is a little bit more related to what I do as a rabbi. On a personal level, when I was in college, my mother passed away suddenly from a brain aneurysm when she was 44 years old. You know, I was without a care in the world, and I on vacation actually with my mom's parents, and we got the worst phone call of my life that my mother had a brain aneurysm. She had a second brain aneurysm, went into a coma, and then she died, and our entire life was turned upside down. And I would say it was in that moment that I realized that life can change in an instant, and that we oftentimes really don't appreciate the gift of every moment. And then when I turned to the same age, this is really, I would say, the catalyst for the book. I knew my mother was young, but when I got to the same age as my mother, I began to ask myself, am I doing the most with the life that God has given me to realize my divine potential and to help try to make the world a better place? And my mother, a blessed memory, and my father, he should live me well, always, I would say, helped me realize that every day as a gift would always remind me of the reason why I'm here and a sense of purpose. And it really led me on an odyssey to try to see how can I help inspire people not to wait for a moment of crisis, right? There's no atheist in a foxhole. On the day after 9/11, everybody remember what was truly important. And I think about it during this time, too. People always, you know, when you're sick, you begin to think about the things that are really important. But what I want to do is help people identify what is your best self, what is the kind of life you want to lead, and then I take people on a journey of seven principles to reverse engineer their lives so they lead their best lives now. And as a rabbi, I see that oftentimes when I won't hear from people, they'll call me up, somebody's going into the hospital, and they'll say, pray for me, and then I won't hear from them afterwards. And it's not, God forbid, because they died, but rather everything's fine, and then they go back to life as usual. But life was not meant to be a highlight film, but rather to seize every day to create something eternal. And I would say that's, you know, I would say the dual motivation for writing this book.
Well, the book is called What Will They Say About You When You're Gone? And I think we all wonder about that. So what you said is you've got in your book how you can reverse engineer your life to get to where you would like it to be so that when you're gone, they will say what you want them to say, right?
Yeah, I guess. Well, let me unpack that a little bit. At the end of the day, it's not an ego trip so that, oh, I just do this so they can say this about me. But it's actually a way to motivate somebody to say, okay. And really, the beginning of the book is I ask people, and I stress, you know, now is a good time when the world is a bit on pause, to ask yourself a question, questions. What are the five words that you want to be remembered by? And I'll give you a simple example. Somebody answered that and said, I want to be remembered as a father, a husband, a son, a friend. And then the person said afterwards, they said, you know what? I forgot to write down that I'm a brother. And it must mean that I'm not spending enough time with my sister. So the exercise itself gave him a bit of an awakening rather than to be on his deathbed and say, you know what, I need to spend time with my sister to remember those bonds right now. You know, another question I'll ask people to think about, taking hours, if you have 24 hours to live, what would you do and why? And somebody said to me there, they said, look, if I had 24 hours to live, I would identify those people in my life that helped me get to where I am today, and I would call them up, and I would thank them. And when the person said this in front of a group of around 20 to 30 people, everybody looked at him and said, what are you waiting for? And he called me up the next day, and he said, every day now in my life, I'm going to try to identify somebody who helped get me to where I am today. And it's changed his life. So what I want to encourage people to do is to, you know, take the sacred space, you know, 30 minutes, an hour, when you have your life, the life in front of you, and say, okay, what really matters in my life, to try to create a compass, to try to create a touchstone for what's important. Just one other point, you know, everybody, I'm sure, we always check our stocks. You check your portfolio. Am I making money? Am I not making money? Did I gain weight today? We check our health. But oftentimes we don't spend enough time aligning who we are with who we want to be. And that's the first step in leading a life of legacy, of leading a life of purpose, is spend some time, what is the life that we want to lead? And then make sure we spend time aligning who we are now with who we want to be so that our lives can be more truly reflective of our deep.
So what you talked about in your example, I tell people that to have the best life possible, that once a day or more than that, they should list and state all the things that they're grateful for. And obviously, you can be grateful for the friends that you have that have helped you. And as a corollary to that, tell them. So I think we're on the same page there.
We are on the same page. We're brothers from the different mother.
Yes. Okay, let's talk about your seven principles for reverse engineering in your life. The first principle is to discover your Elijah moment. And I'm not sure what you mean by Elijah moment, but I'm sure you can tell us.
Yeah, so Elijah, as I know you know and many others, is a prophet that, according to at least mysticism, he would appear to try to help people at different moments. And the Elijah moment is based on the idea, I go back kind of to the moment at a funeral. When you're at a funeral and there's somebody there who's what I call the standing room only phenomenon. If you could ask the deceased who that person is, they would know, but nobody else there would know. And the reason why they're there is because of one moment in time, the individual was changed by that person's life. And it's called the Elijah moment after a beautiful story about a person who went to a mystic and said, I want Elijah the prophet. And the mystic said to him, you want to see Elijah the prophet, go into the forest. There's a widow there with children. And bring the widow food for the weekend. The man goes there, doesn't see Elijah. He comes back to the mystic on Sunday. And the mystic says, go back the next time. Go back next week. Bring food. You'll see Elijah the prophet this time. So he brings the food. It's Friday afternoon. He's within earshot of the home. And he hears a child crying out to the mother. The mother hears the child saying, Mommy, where are we going to get food from for this Sabbath? And the mother turns to the child and says, just like Elijah came last week, Elijah is going to come again. That moment that he realized that he was the Elijah that this woman was waiting for. The Elijah moment means we may not be able to change the world, but each one of us can change the world of one person. No encounter is random. And I'm reminded of a person who told me they were at a parking lot up in West Hartford, Connecticut, and out of the corner of their eye, they saw an elderly man with orthopedic shoes getting out of his car. And his shoes were untied. And she decided in that moment to walk over to this elderly man and ask if she could tie his shoes. And she bent down and she said with tears in her eyes, that was one of the most powerful moments in her life. And the reason for that was her Elijah moment, because in that moment, that's exactly what that individual needed. Mark Twain said the two most important days of our life are the day when we're born and the day we understand why. And there's not a single human being that can't share a little bit of their light in any single moment when they meet somebody. And discovering your Elijah moment means that we live life not waiting for something to happen, but anticipating opportunities to make somebody's day. It could be a cashier, you smile, you say hello. It could be helping somebody, making a phone call. In that moment, we can be their Elijah, and not only will we be different, but we will have elevated the person around us and in turn slowly changed the world.
Well, that's a wonderful story that you have there, and I would totally recommend that each of us try to have an Elijah moment every day. Your second point in your book is about making courageous choices that reflect the core values in your life.
So that's based on, I would say, a principle of, I like to say, Warren Buffett and King Solomon. Most people don't hear them in the same breath together, but King Solomon, they're both wise men, the oracle, right? The oracle of Omaha. So King Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, better to have a good name than all the wealth in the world. The greatest asset we have is our reputation. And Warren Buffett said it's called the 25 principle, which is it takes 20 years to build a reputation. It takes 5 minutes to destroy a reputation. And leading a life that is ethical, that is authentic, that is morally courageous means that we don't underestimate the little choices that we make. And we make choices in moments of moral ambiguity, not out of convenience, but out of conviction, not out of pressure, but out of principle. And leading a life with courageous choices means that we're not doing something based on external pressures, but rather because internally we're motivated to do the right thing. And that's one of the ideas behind Leading a Life of Legacy. One of the friends of mine, Senator Lieberman, who wrote the foreword to the book, he grew up in our synagogue. He would say that I want to be known not for playing life safe, but I want to be known for doing what's right. And I think that that's also the mark of a courageous life, which is making sure that we do those things and we make those choices that are truly reflective of what the right thing is to do, not what the convenient thing is to do. That's what I mean by courageous choices.
Well, thank you for that. Let's move on to your third point, which is seizing meditative moments and find a sacred space to pause and rediscover your purpose in life.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I think we're in right now, I would say, in an opportunity to seize a meditative moment. One of the keys to leading a life of legacy and reflection is turning off the outside world so we can turn on our inner world. This beautiful story about a farmer, and he lost his watch. It was a very valuable watch. He wasn't sure whether he lost it in the barn, where he had misplaced it. And everybody was running around for like a half hour trying to find this watch. Nobody could find it. Everybody went back into the home, eating lunch. About 20 minutes later, a young boy comes over to the guy and says, "I found your watch." He says, "I don't understand. Everybody was running around. Nobody could find the watch. What did you do?" He said, "Well, I just put my ear down on the ground, and I listened for the ticking of the watch, and then I was able to find it." And to me, that's what seizing meditative moments is about. Our lives are so busy. There's so much noise. We watch so many things that we don't have time to turn it all off and really think deeply about who we are and what our goals are in life. So seizing meditative moments means it's really like a Sabbath. I mean, it's really spending time for 24 hours, 25 hours, turning off all of the devices, not running around, taking walks. And the more that we do that, the more that we actually listen to the voice inside of ourselves, the more that I think we'll find that we can live our lives in action to truly be in alignment with who we really want to be.
I think that there are a lot of people that are listening that are older, like myself. And I remember once losing my glasses. And I looked around and looked around. And I couldn't find them anywhere. And then all of a sudden, I put my hand on my head, and that's where they were. So, losing things, is getting more and more common as you get older and older. Okay,
that's great. Sometimes, yeah. By the way, your metaphor is great because sometimes what we're looking for is right on our head, but we're just not paying attention to it.
Right. Okay, point number four from your book, What Will They Say About You When You're Gone, is creating memories and celebrating the gift of every moment.
Yep. So I would say those are two connected. I celebrate, commit. Creating memories and really living inspired. So I'll kind of touch on both of them briefly. You know, when you look back on a life, we rarely remember the years. We rarely remember the days. I mean, if I asked you, like, what did you do, or even me, what did you do on November 15th, 2019? I have no idea. But we never forget a memory. We never forget a moment. And one of the greatest examples to me was I was doing a funeral for a woman. And I'll always ask the children, you know, it's important for you to speak at the service so that you can reflect on your mother's life. And the woman said to me, she was 50 years old. She said, "I really didn't have a great relationship with my mother. I don't think there's anything that I want to say." So she came to the graveside service, and I said, you know, "Is there anything you want to say?" And she says, "You know what? There are two memories that I want to share, and this is one of them." And I'll never forget when I was 8 years old, I was sleeping upstairs and it was snowing outside. And my mother came to me and shook me and woke me up and said, "Honey, it's snowing outside. Why don't you get dressed and let's go out and play?" And I thought about that, and I said, here's a woman who, there were 50 years she was with her mother, and the memory that she remembers was a spontaneous expression of love when she was 8 years old. And I said, for all of us, it's so important to try to create experiences and memories, because those will be the ones that in the briefest of moments will ultimately become eternal. You know, and I think about that personally a lot. Like, I run around, but when there's an opportunity, my daughter wants to go for a walk or just to create a memory and to be fully present and to not be distracted. A lot of people have what's called CPA, which is continuous partial attention. They're never really there. But when we create memories, we truly can live on in those we love. That's the first point. The second is living inspired, which is really appreciating fellow in his 90s, 93 years old, who recovered from COVID. And he was on a ventilator. And as he walked out of the hospital, they gave him his bill. And the bill was for $5,000 for one day on the ventilator. And when he got the bill, he started to cry. And the doctor looked at him and said, you know, are you crying because it's too much money? You know, we'll work it out. And he turned to the doctor and said, that's not why I'm crying. He said, I'm crying because I've lived my life for 93 years. And God has given me breath for free for 93 years. And I didn't pay him anything. I never thanked him for it. And now I see there's a bill for $5,000 for a ventilator. How much do I owe God? And to me, it's what David says at the end of Psalms. Every day when we wake up, God is instilling us with the breath of life. And if we are fully conscious of that gift and don't just kind of walk through life without thinking, but are appreciative of every breath we take, we will be able to be motivated and inspired and grateful to definitely try to make every day extraordinary.
The next point that you make in your book is finding faith. Tell us about that.
So finding faith is really about the reality, as I discovered in my own life, that, you know, life is always going to have struggles. Life is always going to have obstacles, and there are going to be moments then when we are tempted to kind of lament the darkness that we're in. And finding faith really is about, I like to quote Viktor Frankl, which I'm sure you're familiar with, in a book called Man's Search for Meaning, which is we have the freedom to respond in the moment that we are in, which is not to ask why. And I, you know, thought about that. I write about the fact that when my mother was, you know, moments before passing away, and in those days, I could have continually asked, why did this happen? And the truth is, I'll never know why. But I realized, and I've learned, that finding faith means not asking why, because we'll never know why, but saying, for what? How can I grow through this moment? How can I use the difficult experience that I'm having to not only personally grow, but to bring new light into the world? And being able to navigate those challenges and find faith, to me, and it's resilience, it's spiritual strength. Isaiah speaks about it. Those who have faith in God, their strength will be renewed, is one of the keys to being able to bounce back. You know, it says a righteous person falls seven times and gets up. And our role and our challenge is to rise up. But we all can rise up. We can all grow and hopefully turn our obstacles into opportunities for growth.
Your sixth point is living inspired and attuned to the sacred moments every day.
Yeah, so it's a little bit like what I spoke about with the fellow with the breath, but really it's about realizing that we cannot stop time, but we can slow down time if we're fully present in the moment. I think about Jacob. When he was running away from Esau, it says in the Bible that he woke up after he had his dream and he said, God is in this place and I did not know. Realizing that we can create something eternal any moment. One of the things that moved me most was when I was at an airport sending one of my daughters off to actually Israel. And it was the last few moments when I was going to say goodbye to her, and I wasn't sure what to say. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw another man putting his hands on his daughter's head. I realized giving her the blessing that God should watch over her. And I was so grateful that in that moment, I saw that. I gave that blessing to my daughter in that moment. I'll never forget where it was. And as a result of that one moment of being open to seeing that reality, I started to give blessings to my daughters. And then ultimately, my father started giving blessings to me. And I share that as a story of living inspired because it's possible to create something eternal if we are fully present in the moment we're experiencing. Another book I recommend is Robert Gruden, Time and the Art of Living. Ask yourself, to live inspired means ask yourself every day, what am I doing today that is worthy of future memory? And we can truly then be fully present and try to be inspired in the moment that we're experiencing right now.
The final point, discovering your renewable energy to draw on your infinite potential.
Yeah, so there it really relates to the notion that, you know, life is a journey. It's not about the destination. Every day that we are blessed with our life, God is giving us a new task. What I accomplished yesterday is something that I cannot accomplish tomorrow. And it's really realizing that every day God is giving me new strength. I don't define, and we should not define our life simply by what we do, but by who we are. You know, oftentimes a person has a challenge. They may have led a life as a lawyer, as an accountant, whatever task it is. And when they don't have that job anymore, they feel a little bit lost because they don't have that particular task. But discovering your renewable energy means that if God closes one door, another door is going to open. There's no such thing as retirement. Just think about it. If Moses believed in retirement, the Jews never would have gotten out of Egypt. I mean, he would have been sitting in Florida, right? He started his career at 80 years old. And if God gives us life, there's something new for us to accomplish. And the more that we remember that, the more that we will find new purpose every day. We can spread light in so many different ways, and that's really what discovering your renewable energy is, no matter how old we are.
I remember finding out from a survey that the highest incidence of suicide in a male is within a year of them retiring from their job. And
that's exactly it. And this is something I know that you've devoted your life to. I mean, you know, when somebody doesn't have life purpose and they tie, you know, their happiness to, you know, somebody else, and it's hard. These are really deep issues. It definitely is something that people struggle with.
So that kind of speaks to the fact that one of the most important things that we can do is always have a life purpose, a mission to be following, mm-hmm. if we want to have the best life possible. And for what I do, which is help people get out of their various addictive behaviors, that's a crucial point in whether or not they're going to be able to do that, because life purpose is one of the most enhancing type of things that you can have in your life as far as building up your self-worth. And it's the people with low self-esteem that have a problem with addictive behaviors looking for something that can make them feel better about themselves, that they don't have enough self-worth inherently, and so they go all around looking at this and looking at that to try to find something to increase their self-esteem. And so that's what I do, which is help them discover how to do that. And
you're doing God's work. I mean, that is God's work, giving people life.
Exactly.
And really giving them something to live for.
I believe the Bible said that we were each fearlessly and wonderfully made, or something along those lines. And if we believe that we're a child of God and we have various the same kind of characteristics that God has, how could we not appreciate ourselves, and how could we do things to ourselves that would hurt ourselves? We can't do that. So it comes down to that sense of understanding what life is really all about. And so, Daniel, it's been great having you on the program. I'd like to ask you to tell our audience, perhaps, if you want to give your email or your website address or anything that you
sure.
say about them getting in touch with you.
Yeah, sure. So thank you very much for the opportunity. The best thing is to go on my website. It's www.RabbiDanielCohen.com. You can contact me that way. Happy to hear from you. You can there are videos, blogs. You can get the book. And also, if you go right on the website, you can download for free the first chapter of the book, which is really about going through the process of identifying your best self. So, you know, again, I truly believe that we're all here, as you do, for a purpose. And anything that I can do to be supportive of anybody, please let me know. God should bless all of us with realizing our divine potential and creating some Elijah moments and spreading light in the world that touches us.
Well, thank you, Daniel. Now, my mission and purpose in life is to spread a message that there is a cure for all addictive behaviors. This is a spiritual cure, and the treatment program is profiled in my book, Freedom from Addiction 3. It's available on Amazon
wow.
and wherever books are sold. So if you meet three simple criteria, everyone gets well. I have two free resources where you can start your journey. The first is my podcast, and it is www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com, and you spell Libsyn, L-I-B-S-Y-N. That, of course, is a free service, and you can subscribe to it. And the website is www.revwynhendersonmd.com. And so I wish you a blessed day, and Daniel, I wish you a blessed day, and thank you for what you're doing, and I honor you and your work.
Sounds good. You too. God bless you. Thanks for the opportunity.